Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 31st, 2010, on the West Coast. Now, January the 1st, 2011, on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. That means Happy New Year to everyone listening in tonight, especially those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. We appreciate you tuning in as well. And before we get too much into tonight's show, I want to encourage everyone, if you're not aware, there's a railroading of a former prime minister, the recent Prime Minister of the Ukraine, Yulia Tymoshenko. She has been framed by the current government there over some questions about pension funds that were used for the benefit of the people there. And she is under, let's say, demonic attack. It's quite obvious that Russia would like to once again take control of the Ukraine. And we're going to talk about some things that involve the Ukraine on tonight's show. In fact, we're going to be going over many of the events that occurred in the year 2010 around the world. And I think you'll find tonight's show very interesting. Before we do that, I want to take you outside the box, as usual, and share some music from keyboardist, composer, singer, and producer George Duke. And this is a two-part piece called Genesis and 500 Miles to Go. Thank you. Genesis and 500 Miles to Go from George Duke, his album Illusions. We talked quite a bit about Illusions this past year. And tonight's guest and I are going to continue talking about some of the major events that occurred, mostly false flag events designed to push humanity in a particular direction, closer to totalitarian slavery. And tonight's guest has been graciously waiting in the wings for his introduction. He is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and our resident science advisor here on Evident Footprints since the outset of the show. And I'm now into my beginning my fourth year with PBS Radio, and he's been with me every week since then, my good friend, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, Happy New Year, and welcome to the show.
Yes, Don, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too, and also to all of our listeners, both here and in other nations. And with your permission, Don, I would like to wish a very special Happy New Year greeting to somebody in particular. She's a very lovely, very talented, and very intelligent and interesting young woman. That would be our friend Kayo Yoshida in Tokyo, Japan. Happy New Year, Kayo.
Yes, if she's listening, Kayo, Happy New Year from me, too. Yes. Well, Jim, we've been through quite a bit this past year. And we kind of thought that it would be maybe beneficial for our listening audience, based on people's short memories, to sort of recap some of the major events that occurred in 2010. And I know the topic is very unnerving. It makes us both very angry. And certainly it makes the powers that be that created all these events angry when we reveal the truth about the fraudulent nature of these events. We could talk about earthquakes, strange and violent storms that have swept the earth, the chemtrails, the alleged oil spill, they call it, in the Gulf of Mexico, and the winding up of the HAARP antenna array and its contribution to many of these events, as well as some other false flag events, shootings and attempts at what they like to call terrorism, their government-sponsored activities. Any particular topic you'd like to begin with?
Well, frankly, of all the things that have happened in the past year, and I certainly hope that the mystical year of 2011 is going to totally eclipse the nonsense and the deranged activities of 2010. But out of all of the stuff that happened last year, to be honest with you, Don, the one that irks me more than any is the event in the Gulf of Mexico. Because I believe that it has already damaged not only the local ecology, but even the natural flow patterns of the Gulf Stream. And I'm afraid that the ramifications of that nonsense is going to haunt us for quite some time. So I guess we can start there, unless
yes.
You want to do something else.
No, that's fine, sure. These are events that we know were designed based on put options that were played in the international markets, especially the secret notification to certain entities in the financial community in Europe that Transocean Limited stock would be up for grabs. And there were actually put options placed to predict that the value of the stock was going to go down as soon as a catastrophic event occurred in the Gulf of Mexico. That was the premise for that, and that actually began on April 20th of 2010, for reference. So by all means, go ahead, Jim.
Well, you know more about the political side of it, you know, but the thing that's really a concern to me is, well, there's several things, but the dispersants that were used to sink the oil spill out of sight and allow it to collect at the bottom of the Gulf has probably done more damage than we'll ever be able to estimate. You know, that this murky material is now settled on the bottom of the Gulf. That's where all of your oyster beds are. That's where all of your local life is living or was living. And these deposits have apparently in some way changed the temperature and flow characteristics in the Gulf. So now the Gulf Stream is no longer making that long loop around through the interior of the Gulf and back out around southern Florida and up the East Coast like it used to do. And, of course, it gathered an enormous amount of heat when it did that. And now that swirl has been eliminated because of these Gulf activities. At least this is what we've been told by scientists who have conducted the research. And as a result of this, the weather in Europe, especially in the areas of Ukraine and Russia and those northern countries like the Scandinavians, are going to experience some really brutal winters, and maybe even starting now. I have friends in Ukraine, and they've sent me pictures of some of the most horrendous snow that you've seen that they've seen in years, and it makes for a beautiful white Christmas, but what does it really mean? You know, what have we done to our Earth as a result of this disgusting display of greed? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
You have any input on that, Don? I'm almost afraid to predict, you know, on the basis of what I know. But it'd be interesting to hear what you have to say.
Well, if you look at the immediate impact that this has had on the generational fishing families in the Gulf region, be they from Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and I suppose even those from Mexico, and going down along the Central American coast there, this has impacted these families and taken away their source of income. The fish and the aquatic life that is suffering from this is enormous. The Corexit, we know, is even causing people to get sick. And, of course, this is all being downplayed. We know that the financial shenanigans that have occurred, and trust me on that, and ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you that I've done plenty of research that will prove that this was all planned, and I will identify the financial institutions and governments that were involved in a conspiracy to create this event with the intention of driving the population out of the Gulf and turning the whole region into a massive oil refinery. Despite what they say about global warming and pollution, you're talking about a criminal cabal that is absolutely psychopathic. And they have no conscience, they have no remorse, they have no concern. And you can assure yourself that if you listen to what they say and imagine what the story would be if it was 180 degrees, the reversal, you will find the truth there. So, Jim, the impact on the ecology of the ocean and the tangential problems that creates, as you mentioned, the Gulf Stream, the impact this is going to have on the Atlantic Ocean, because this these surfactants that they call dispersants, which are nothing more than chemicals that force the oil down below the surface, that is that which has not reached the shores and contaminated the beaches and killed millions of birds, fish, whales, dolphins, virtually all the plant life, and it's affecting the inland waterways as well. The impact to the ecosystem is immeasurable in terms of the amount of damage. And we can show that the White House knew about this. The White House, George Soros, Petrobras, a Brazilian oil company, is heavily invested in projects there. And the billions of dollars that are allegedly to be used to help the people who are suffering from this are being used to cover it all up, basically, and to facilitate governmental takeover of these huge corporations. BP is running our government. This is a criminal organization working hand in hand with another criminal organization, Goldman Sachs. And in fact, we can look at all the events that have occurred over the past year, and I can guarantee you Goldman Sachs, the Federal Reserve, and the U.S. Treasury are involved in some manner. So is the Security Exchange Commission. These are nothing but criminal organizations. So we're dealing with criminals who are destroying this planet and in their pursuit of a one-world government. To try to rationalize what they're doing, it's just to take over, to steal what belongs to God's children, to steal it. For whom? For the demon that they worship, Satan. They're Satanists, they're vile, pedophiles, perverts, liars, thieves, murderers. I don't know what else to call them, other than they themselves are devoid of any spirit, any heart, and are nothing but a bunch of demons themselves. So that's what we're dealing with in terms of what's going on in the planet. I suppose we could segue to the direct attack upon humanity and this ruse of a swine flu and the necessity to inoculate the world's population to prevent a disease that they created in a laboratory. And this, again, is another means for them to further enrich themselves. And I'm sure you probably have a few things to say about that as well.
Oh, I do. I think it's totally disgusting. And like so many other things, it's an absolute hallmark of the type of individuals you're dealing with. But, you know, in the long run, these people are stupid because this is not only now circulating amongst the more informed, but sooner or later it's going to be available for the general public. And they were foolish enough to take out patents not only on the vaccine that they created, but also on the bacteria that they created, which was the cause of the so-called plague that was going around. So, I mean, if they weren't responsible for the plague, what in the heck would they have a patent on the bacteria for? You know, it's pretty obvious that this is an insidious plot, and like all other concepts that are manufactured by diseased minds, you know, this is just another plan to shake down the public. And I mean, I can still drive up and down the streets around here, and every time you pass a drugstore, there's a little sign tapped into the grass on a post of some sort that says, flu inoculations available. And they even have the price out there. I forget what it is, $5 or $6 a shot, or maybe 10. But, you know, it's still going on, even now on a reduced level. So, you know, that's another example of the kind of minds that you have, and the fact that they are, in fact, soulless, or certainly without a conscience, anyway. And They're only interested in the bottom line. Nothing else matters. And, you know, remember, we talked about this event on one of the shows way back. I bet you it was 18 months ago or 15 months ago, something like that. And while all of that was going on, or being prepared to start, we had a considerable influx of information about huge storage grounds in various states where literally hundreds of thousands of plastic, cheap plastic coffins were stored. And at the time, we weren't sure what the heck they were for, except it was pretty obvious that somebody was expecting a lot of deaths. And then shortly after that, you know, the information began leaking about these manufactured flus and the potential for causing a pandemic. So, you know, all those coffins were there for a reason. And I think that's another plot exposed. Now, thank God that the plague didn't have the kind of effect that they had hoped it would have. But it just goes to show you that these people are just like, you know, some sort of little diseased individuals that hide in the darkness and hatch their plots. And if one doesn't work, they probably got 1,000 more. And it's that kind of nonsense that has to come to an absolute stop.
Yes, it's always done for financial gain. And if the financial mechanisms aren't in place immediately, they wait a little bit to see what they have to do to introduce Plan B or Plan C pertaining to each event. Recall the Haitian earthquake. The phenomenon of a massive earthquake destroying the whole downtown area of Haiti and not touching the other half, the eastern half of the island, the Dominican Republic. How do you account for such an occurrence, other than that they're using Tesla-type technology to direct these energy weapons to produce massive death? And this was on the heels of a bailout and a bank collapse that was occurring worldwide because of the criminal cabal in Washington and in New York City and their affiliates in Germany and England and France and the Netherlands and even in the Far East, in Hong Kong. Money laundering, massive theft of trillions of dollars, something that I've been talking about on this show for over 4 years. And when I first began talking about the trillions of dollars, everybody said I was crazy. Now you have the mainstream media reporting it as if it's just some occurrence. No explanation how we leapfrogged over the billions, mind you. Proof, massive proof that this was going on. Derivatives and hedge funds, the collapse of the real estate market here. But the Haitian earthquake gave them the ability to move in there and take over the government and use the underwater cables as an alternative route to funnel money to other countries, to other places, be it Brazil or Paraguay or any of the islands there in the West Indies territory. And that's just one small example of the amount of theft and money laundering that's occurred. And it impacted American society to the extent that millions of people have been unlawfully driven from their homes under the auspice of them not meeting their mortgage payments or that another bank had taken over the title to their property, all unlawful because these homeowners had not been given copies of the paperwork. and this is still going on, and it's tied into a corrupt Justice Department nationwide on the local, county, state, and federal level. And again, Goldman Sachs figures into it. The selling of our water to countries like China. They're actually stealing the water and selling it to China as if it belongs to some group of people privately. The insanity and again, the corruption is staggering.
Notice that they always have another trick up their sleeve. Now, one of the largest aquifers in the world is in South America, somewhere in Paraguay, I think. I'm not sure exactly where it is. But it's very interesting that it's either on or near that massive tract of land that the Bushes now own. And, you know, that fits right in with the potential of that water scheme that you were talking about.
Yes, that plays a role. And, of course, all of these events tangentially tie into this fraudulent cap and trade based on a fraudulent global warming mantra that Al Gore and his minions have been drumming through the mainstream media, through public radio, virtually every opportunity they have to throw something out at us. Even this idiot of a congressman, Hank Johnson from the state of Georgia, addressing a Navy admiral with his concerns that the island of Guam is going to tip over and capsize because too many people are on. You recall that clip?
Oh,
there.
Yeah, we had a good long show about that. I think we dedicated almost the majority of the show to that topic. Yeah, well, you know, it happens so often, though. You can't blame the guy for being concerned. I mean, you know, what's especially dangerous is when a ship or some other event happens offshore and all the islanders rush to the beach at the same time. That's how we lose all those islands. They just flip right over and disappear.
Yes. And then, you know, he uses the opportunity to say, well, you know, we have to be concerned about things like that. Just like we have to be concerned about global warming. As they spray chemtrails and heavy metals and human red and white blood cells and various strains of bacteria over the people around the world, this is going on.
Well, you know, that brings up a very interesting point, Don. If you were to stop and calculate how many hundreds of thousands of gallons of liquid that represents when you consider all the areas in which they're laying down these chemtrails, where do you suppose they get all the human blood? And you know how many people disappear every year that are on all kinds of posters and milk cartons and notices in post offices and God only knows where else, and they're never seen again? Wouldn't it be interesting if you could get enough of the blood to make a DNA match and find out if it links up with any of the missing people in the world?
Well, that's a good point, and or if it matches with people who give blood to foundations like the Red Cross. I mean,
possibility. I mean, they could all be involved.
Oh, yeah. Well, one would have to speculate as to where that comes from. Somebody knows. Someone somewhere knows the real answer to that question. But the fact that that they're willing to do such outrageous things really speaks volumes about how evil they are. Who would first of all condone doing that? You have to ask yourself that question. And then who would sit back and allow it to occur, knowing what it's about? And the fact that they have absolutely no conscience conscience about it. In fact, they deny that it's even happening. They deny it's even happening. That's how evil they are. That somehow that evil denial is to be accepted as the truth. Remember, I said, take what they do, take what they say, and point yourself 180 degrees in the opposite direction, and you'll find the truth. They are spraying poisons and toxins in the sky, not just affecting people, killing people, causing people to be sick, to come down with debilitating respiratory diseases and blood diseases. Morgellons being the example, and affecting crops, affecting wildlife areas. While they profess to be concerned about preserving nature, they're destroying it, and they're killing animals too in the process. All the wild animals, the whole ecosystem on the planet is under attack by these demons. And I can't think of a nicer word to call them. And I have to remember we're on the radio too, because I do have some other words I could use. But
oh yeah, I have a whole litany of interesting descriptive adjectives. But the fact of the matter is, they're also totally mad. You know, I mean, they're obviously incapable of projecting their thinking forward to even give the vaguest consideration to the long-term effects of the things that they're doing. They're so stupid. They forget that they live here too. I mean, there's no way to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can't.
Yeah, we've had some what we could call false flag events. There've been a series of murders that have occurred, like at Virginia Tech. There was a beheading. Now I can't recall the exact date, but it seems to me that it was at the beginning. Very beginning of the year, a Chinese or Vietnamese man, let's say he was Asian, of Asian descent, decapitated an acquaintance in the school cafeteria at Virginia Tech. Have you ever heard of anything like that in your life?
No, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, my value system is obviously passé. Nowadays, almost anything is possible. You know, it's just another series of events that show where we're headed.
Yeah, and that preceded an event that occurred at Virginia Tech where there was a shooter that just began shooting professors and students. And it's obvious with the vicinity of the Blacksburg, Virginia underground base to that school that this individual was a Manchurian candidate, had been mind-controlled, and it so happens that his sister worked for the CIA. Not a coincidence.
No, I remember that event pretty clearly. I didn't remember the decapitation, but then, of course, it's not something you'd want to keep fresh in your mind. But, yeah, I remember the shooting.
And then,
you know, I think a lot of these things are arranged on to give bad press to the so-called gun nuts,
mm-hmm.
because their ultimate goal, you know, is to remove all weapons from the U.S. populace. And so the only people that will have any guns will be the military, the police, and the criminals. I mean, the obvious criminals. And then you're going to have a situation very similar to what you have in Australia and Britain. You know, when they disarmed those countries, crime went up in the first year 500%. And everybody was amazed. They said, well, how can this happen? All the guns were confiscated. You really have to be soft in the head to think that anybody that's on the criminal side of the fence is going to turn in their weaponry. The only people that cooperated with that were the decent citizens, and they were the ones who should have kept their guns. So be forewarned.
Yes. Yes. And then there was another double murder of two students. I believe they worked in one of the microbiology labs at the university, who were on a camping trip, and they were murdered in their tent. Now, those sound like random events, but when you connect these events together, you look at this pattern that's there, it's not something that's occurring all over the country, and yet it impacts the whole country. Now, we had at the end of 2009, in November, we had this Fort Hood incident. And I had done quite a bit of research on that within, I'd say, 11 days. The Fort Hood shooting took place on November 5th of 2009. And I had uncovered quite a bit of interesting information about this Major Nidal Malik Hassan, who sat on George W. Bush's panel and then served on this panel that dealt with the changing of the guard, so to speak, in the White House. We had a usurper from Indonesia claiming he was born in Hawaii, also claiming he was born in Kenya. You know, I mean, it's insane what's going on. And this has been a sticking point. People have filed lawsuits. Whether the lawsuits are legitimate or not, the mainstream media has attacked those of us who have uncovered the fraudulent nature of the whole thing. They even recently published another story about this no-legged Mac Daddy, as I call him, in the White House, and his father having spent 7 years leaving Hawaii in 1962. He had been in the country for 7 years. That means he came to this country in 1955, if that story was true. Of course, their recent alleged microfilm photocopies of newspaper articles written by the Honolulu Advertiser that are totally fraudulent. I've looked at these in the last couple of days. And it's another feeble attempt to make it look like this character, Barack Obama Sr., actually was in Hawaii. It's a total fiction. The entire story, supported by compiled photographs, compiled newspaper articles. And for those of you listeners that don't know what the word compiled means, they take images and put them together to make it look like a real photograph. But if you enlarge the photograph one or two times its original size, you can spot all the anomalies that show how fraudulent it is. And the more most recent version of this stuff, Jim, is again proving that this is a big lie. But now they have the governor of Hawaii, Neil Abercrombie, coming out, and I understand that this guy's been identified as a socialist / communist many years ago. He's calling us demons, those of us who are pointing out the fraudulent nature of this character sitting in the White House. And he's on a mission now. We're called birthers. No, I'm a researcher, and I've uncovered the truth about the fraudulent nature of the books that were written, the characters and who they are, that they're international spies, and that's all they ever were. And in the end, the truth is going to come out. It's not coming out fast enough. But again, this is just another signpost of all the corruption that's there. Now, this Major Nidal Malik Hassan is associated with the international money laundering and the real estate in a very strange way, because they've been bringing Arabs, these so-called enemies of the United States, have been coming over here, and they're involved in microbiology, creating weapons to be used against us. They've been in all the major universities. They're buying real estate. They've been given the real estate because they've been screwed by not getting their payments on their oil royalties. So you have the Bushes and the Clintons, and again, Goldman Sachs and all the oil companies and all the co-conspirators. You can get into the Council on Foreign Relations, the RAND Corporation, and then all of these insurance companies and the banks and the brokerage houses that are just creating all this fictitious paper, line item entries and in computers, and just moving trillions of dollars back and forth from one bank to the next, killing people who find out what's going on, murdering the bankers, murdering some of the brokers, murdering some of the insurance agents. And then they have to save these companies. And what they're really doing is they're just stealing more money. Where does the money? They're raking in trillions of dollars. Why is it they need to be bailed out with more trillions? See? Now, this shooting at Fort Hood was another false flag event. Again, directed to create huge fear across the nation, to further gun control again, and for them to test the efficacy of the mind control of the individuals, be it Hassan himself, or to pull off another bank heist. It's rumored that there were large stashes of gold that originally were to finance Iraq, to reestablish a new currency there. And it's just one bank heist after another, one false flag event after another. Any comment on that?
Well, the gold thing is the most interesting aspect of that whole thing. I mean, there's no real mystery to the fact that they'll arrange anything that they can, whether it involves murder or lies or subterfuge of any sort, to get their hands on more gold. It would be interesting to know, you know, what the quantity of that gold was. And don't forget, the United States had been appointed around the time of World War II, or maybe it was even before that, as a guardian for the gold from a number of different countries. And from what I hear, you know, in the last 2 years, all of that gold is missing. There's absolutely nothing in Fort Knox, maybe a few bundles of IOUs. But, you know, where has all the gold gone? You know, that's another interesting thing. And, you know, don't forget, this is the same group that orchestrated the removal of the gold standard from this country so that our money wouldn't be tied to a commodity with definite value. And that freed them up to make the paper have whatever value they want it to have. So, you know, they're playing the game from both ends. They did the same thing, you know, back in the 30s after the Depression when they called in all the gold. And they knew that they know that people aren't going to be playing that game voluntarily this time around. So instead, they've been stealing it. And they've stolen it from every place where it's been stashed. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to force the issue and find out just what is in Fort Knox anymore. Look at the situation in New York with 9/11. I used to work there. I was in the maintenance department there. And I can tell you unequivocally that there were gold vaults associated with the bank of the, what do you call a bank? Anyway, the the Federal Reserve Bank is what I was trying to think of. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York had gold stashed underneath there. And one of the things that was interesting that I marveled at was the fact that when we were bringing in the air conditioning units for the machine floors on those buildings, all of the service that was done for these big condensers and the big air compressor units, the water pumps, and all the different equipment that they had. I don't know if you know this or not, but the World Trade Center was divided up into a series of machine floors because they couldn't service the needs of the entire building for water, for air conditioning, for electrical supply, and all that stuff from one central location. It would have been too huge to put all that stuff on one floor. So when you took an elevator up, there were floors that are not marked. Mm-hmm. And those are the machine floors. And I believe it was every 12th floor or something like that. Maybe it was every 9th. But at any rate, there were a number of them. And all that machinery that was situated at those locations was brought up in massive freight elevators. And those freight elevators went clear down to the sub-levels and came out on loading platforms that were accessible to the Hudson and Manhattan subway system. And the first time that I was down there, I was really impressed at the fact that they had flat cars, box cars, and little donkey engines all stored on sidings down there so that they could literally sneak stuff through the tunnel system all the way from the Meadowlands in New Jersey, if necessary, and bring that equipment in. Now, if you do that in the middle of the night, who's going to ever notice it, especially if it's covered over with canvas? Well, the same thing can happen if they're removing stuff from the building. I think it's very interesting that all the gold that was in those subterranean vaults of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York all managed to disappear long before the building collapsed. You don't hear any stories anywhere of them finding trillions of dollars in gold bullion. Not a penny was found. So where did that all go? You know, yeah. If you stop and consider and connect all the dots, you know, we're the victims of a massive series of conspiracies. It's not just one. And the whole idea is to drain every fragment of wealth out of this country and bring this country down at all costs. Because as long as the United States stands in the way, in any way, shape, or form, they're not going to have this moronic dream of a one-world order. Well, I mean, it's just something else to think about, Don.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're correct. My understanding was, and I don't know this absolutely, but there were reports that there were something like 2,300 tons of gold underneath the World Trade Center that was removed at the outset of the events. And then, you know, you have the no planes, you have the media lying, and, you know, anyone that wants to really examine that issue, I encourage you to just Google September clues. Fantastic analysis of all the media fraud that occurred. You had people on live TV saying they saw missiles, and then they quickly corrected themselves and said airplanes. You don't usually say things like that. You know, that's like saying, "Well, a truck drove by my house." You know. A bird, you know, they correct themselves as soon as they realize they said something they weren't supposed to say, and it's ignored and it's glossed over. All the phony eyewitnesses that they brought, including the relatives of TV producers and directors that gave us a blow-by-blow description of the attacks, and they said things that they had no way of knowing. The phony sidewalk witnesses that they brought one particular guy describing how he knows that everybody knows that the jet fuel got so hot that it just melted the core of those skyscrapers. 47 columns in steel columns encased in concrete, and this jet fuel that can't burn hot enough to even damage the concrete caused it to turn to powder and cause the columns, the steel columns, to turn to liquid. Jim, you deal with energy and power production. Do you know of any airplane fuel that's capable of doing that to steel columns and not causing the airplane to turn to liquid and while it's in flight? While the fuel
the whole thing is a lot of bunk, Don, because, you know, when I worked for Bethlehem Steel, and I did go to the steel mills from time to time, even though I was in the mining division, and the amount of power and energy and time that it takes to melt a single ladle of steel is astronomical. And it's not done with jet fuel, you know. It's done with a lot of sophisticated equipment. There's a huge supply of air that's blown through there to get the temperatures that high, and thousands of tons of coke and other materials that are combustible are consumed in the process. Even in the soaking pits, where they have in various plants huge ingots that are going to be shaped by drop forging, for instance, those are heated by natural gas, and you can't even get near one of those things to look down in there. But they have these ingots that weigh like 50, 60 tons, just sitting in there soaking up the heat as a prelude to them being shaped by these huge hydraulic hammers that they forge with. And even though the steel is red hot, it's not molten. You know, it's still in solid shape. It's just like when you submerge a horseshoe, you know, in the hot coals, and blow air through it with a bellows system, so that you can put it on the anvil and beat it into shape. It's not molten; it's just softer than it is normally. So it would take at least—I don't remember the exact temperatures, but I'm sure that it's either in the high 20s or the low 3000s to melt steel. And besides, the steel didn't melt. If you look at the films of that building collapsing, you can see the beams literally flying out of these big plumes of rubble and powder that mask everything. But you can still see the beams flying out of there. And that's indicative of something that's been cut, not melted. You know, I've looked at a lot of those films, and there are other people that have a total knowledge of not only of bringing down buildings, but of building them, who have examined some of this evidence. And they say there's no way in the world that those airplanes themselves would have caused that whole building to collapse. It's just out of the question. If you go back to the time right after World War II, I was just a kid, but I think it was in either 53 or 56, somewhere around there, a bomber that was headed for that, I forget the name of the airfield, but there's a big airfield in Brooklyn, down by the beach in Brooklyn. And in the fog, it flew into the side of the Empire State Building. And it was at a pretty high floor, too. And there was no appreciable damage whatsoever. I mean, there were some people hurt and structural damage, you know, which was all fixable. And the World Trade Center was massive in comparison to the Empire State Building at that level. And for two airplanes, whether they were real or not is beside the point. If they were real airplanes, they couldn't have brought that building down.
No,
and it only takes common sense to realize that. And the last thing, which in my opinion is the most amazing, because nobody had the glimmer of intelligence to realize that it was a totally separate and unrelated event. When Building 7 was brought down, after everything else was already over and done with, there was no bomb, nothing fell on the building, there was no explosion. The building just disintegrated. Now, how do you explain that? Why didn't people tear that apart? No, they just whitewashed the whole thing over and shrugged their shoulders. And yet, that building was probably the command center for the entire detonation sequence that brought down the other two buildings, and they brought that down last after they got everybody out of the way, just to cover their tracks.
Yeah, how do you explain the BBC announcing the collapse of that building 25 minutes prior to it actually happening? You know, both in England and on the ground in New York, announcing that it has collapsed and it's still standing there in the background behind the reporter.
Then it collapses a little while later. Well, you see, they got their cue cards mixed up. It seems like these guys don't do well with cue cards.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we know, but this pretends that there was some exotic weaponry used, as well as explosives, to assist the systematic floor-by-floor pancaking. Again, with 47 concrete-enforced steel columns, 110 stories high, not to mention, what is it, six stories underground at least? Six levels?
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, there is a false flag event. There is a false flag event. And these aren't the only false flag events. There have been attempts to take out refineries, nuclear power plants. Those occurred in 2009. And, of course, you could find it on the alternative media, but there was absolutely no information through the mainstream media. The mainstream media also lied to us about what was going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're still lying about what's going on there. And the thwarted attempts to start a war in Iran, and really the real reason that they're in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that now touches into the area of what is going on in space. And the fact that there are thousands of ships arriving here from other planets. Thousands and thousands of ships, which are going into underground bases. These bases are not new. They've been here for some time. Some of them thousands of years. And this is a reality. This is a reality. If it weren't a reality, or if it wasn't a reality, I would not be attacked, and others who talk about this topic would not be systematically attacked or attempted to be debunked by alleged reputable people in the patriot movements and in the scientific community and in the medical community. I could name names, but I won't. They don't deserve the attention. But our listening audience knows who those people are, and they know what's going on. So if I'm crazy, or we are crazy talking about this stuff, why do we get attacked like that? Why is there such an orchestrated effort to try to discredit us? Is that because we're telling the truth? Well, remember, turn 180 degrees from what they tell us, and you find the truth. And we're telling the listeners the opposite of what the mainstream media says, and what the government says, and all of these international corporations. And we have the false flag of the economy going on. We mentioned the stealing of property, the stealing of technology, the suppression of technology that could easily solve the world's problems overnight. But it doesn't put money in their pockets. And this money is that they're stealing is being used in underground bases, underwater bases. It's being used to finance all kinds of secret projects that go on with universities and think tanks, foundations, institutes, and a lot of it's going off planet. Any comment, Jim?
Yeah, it's interesting, too, that you mentioned the fact about the universities. I'm reading a book right now, which I really want to complete before I start making an outline of the various points that are brought out in it for future shows, Don. But they talk about the university, I think it was the university, one of the major universities in California, I think it was Stanford, and how they used to have a special portion of that university that was dedicated to investigating all sorts of really marvelous scientific anomalies. And then as they started doing more and more work for the government and for the CIA, they eventually broke away completely from the university, and that they are now a bona fide corporation, and nobody really knows what they do. But almost all of their contracts are for either the military or for the CIA.
You must be talking about this.
They're very heavily involved with matters concerning space, interdimensional stuff, secret weapon systems, all kinds of things having to do with aliens, and only God knows what else.
You're speaking about the Stanford Research Institute, SRI.
Yes, SRI, that's correct. And and I imagine, you know, I know for a fact that there's a branch of MIT that's used in the same way. And it's hard to tell, but I wouldn't be surprised if there weren't a number of other universities doing similar things. You know, this government has their fingers in everything. And it's really disgusting.
Well, you've heard me.
That's my major comment.
Yeah, you've heard me say it maybe 10 times during the show that this is nothing but organized crime. And I happened to listen to another radio show. I don't know the name of the guest that was on this show, but he was a very well-spoken Hispanic man. I think his name, at least his first name, was Solomon. And he described this exactly the same way. He said, this is nothing but organized crime. Now, it gives a lot of legitimacy when you say, well, they're working with this university or they're working with that university or this think tank or this foundation, this study group. This is all used to tie everything together, these organizations. Princeton is another university that's used in terms of mind control. And when you talk about SRI, they developed the remote viewing program out of there. They got into psychotronic weapons. And, of course, that's where MIT comes in. And it's not just Americans that are involved in this. They're using foreign agents, calling them students. They're training foreign agents in these technologies. And they become part of NASA, part of the space program. You're very correct in that, but they're using them in other space agencies, the European Space Agency, and they have ties to companies like Goldman Sachs, again, you know, these are these are set up, they're rigged so that the monies go through a particular organization that has the means to steal property, public property, privatize it, sell stock, sell bonds or certificates, treasury certificates to foreign countries until they find out that all of this is bogus. And when it comes time for them to collect, what do? They start a war. Or they threaten to use this technology on one of these countries or a corporation that may be heavily vested in these programs. You know, they say there's no honor among thieves, and they don't honor each other either. On an international level, it's nearly brought the whole world to war. And in the process of hiding who's doing what, all of these false flag events are merely just to divert our attention away from what's really going on and to create fear and to slowly take our rights away under the guise of solving the terrorism problem. When we know that Al-Qaeda was created, it's a CIA-directed operation. And it immediately benefits all of these corporations, these multinational corporations like DynCorp or the Carlyle Group or Halliburton, Kellogg Brown and Root, the Rand Corporation. They're all involved together. And they involve other countries or companies that allegedly are out there providing consumer products. One that comes to mind is Adobe Systems, working with MIT, trying to hack into someone's computer by putting website links within a picture that they email certain people. Takes over their hard drive and you know. And you can find this information inside the picture if you know how to open it up and read what's in it. You can see the links. You can absolutely see. This doesn't happen by accident. This is designed.
Well, my computer was hacked into. As a matter of fact, friends of mine in Japan were trying to send me emails and stuff like that, and they found that my... my website, not my website, but my personal email site was actually active in the middle of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning. And they asked me if I was awake, and I said, no, I wasn't even, I don't have a computer at home. The only place I have one is at the office. And so ever since that time, I have... not only have I had endless numbers of computer problems every time I turn it on, but I no longer leave it on at night. I unplug it even. Because they can send a worm in the guise of any number of types of emails. And once you open that, that thing invades your hard drive and hides in there. I think they actually call them Trojans, the ones that do this. Mm-hmm. And that allows them to control your computer in your absence. Now, if they were interested, for instance, in any of my research or anything like that, they didn't make out too well because most of the stuff that's in there is personal correspondence with various ladies. And they may have enjoyed reading that, but they certainly didn't get anything of worth. And so the fact that they do that with people is well known. I'm sure that they have entire facilities that are dedicated to this type of thing. Whenever they get a lead or whenever they get a person that they're looking to find some poop on, they just invade his privacy through his own computer. And you know, the latest thing, Don, is that there's rumors floating around now that the new TV sets that are being sold actually are two-way transducers. They've got micro cameras in embedded in their somewhere in their frame, and very sensitive listening equipment, and they actually use that, you know, to keep tabs on what's going on within given households. And that's a very old trick. I mean, even when I was a teenager, the technology was already in existence to use the ordinary household phone as a listening device. They could actually send a signal down the line which would take your phone off the hook electronically, even though it was still sitting on the base, and they could use that sensitive pickup mic to listen to the conversations going on in a given room. Now, if they could do that in the 60s and early 70s, God only knows what they're capable of now. But these people are absolutely nuts. They're control freaks, and they want to know everything that's going on, and they want to be able to have their fingers in everything. And the only way to stop it is to cut the fingers off.
Yeah. Well, they invested billions of dollars in making sure that we had good picture quality on our television. Of course, that forced anyone who was capturing analog TV through the average rabbit ear or roof-mounted antenna to subscribe to either cable or satellite TV. And the technology and the numbers of sub-channels that will operate and be used for mind control are phenomenal. The potential there for mind control, not to mention what the programming is in and of itself, mindless. But, Jim, I want to take just a short break here before we wrap up the show with some closing thoughts and escape the matrix for a moment and go into the heart. Let's say heart's horizon.
Shining castles in space.
That was Al Jarreau singing Heart's Horizon. Jim, the reason I chose that song to sort of bring some peace to this whole issue, because we discussed some very, very dark topics tonight. And yet I want to prophesy that there's going to be an end to this evil eventually. I mean, there's no doubt the demons are grinding their teeth in anticipation of destroying this world. But we know, you and I, and many others listening, know that there's a grander plan in force, a universal plan. We've talked about the United Galactic Federation, the fact that there are benevolent visitors to our planet and our space who are helping us and trying to talk some sense. But how do you reason with a demon? you can't. So you just pray that they finally find the hole in the ground that they've been looking for and get swallowed up by it. Any closing comments you'd like to make on this new year?
Well, you have certainly anticipated part of my closing comments by saying that, you know, the stuff we talked about tonight is very dark, certainly reflecting on the evil that's behind all of these secret plans and these false flag events. But I would like to hope that the coming year would not only see a lot less of that, but we certainly see the beginning of an exposure of what's really going on this planet. I think it's about time that people start to demand to know the truth. You know, it's not going to do anybody any good to cower in the shadows, because if these creeps succeed, all of you are screwed. It isn't a question of them just picking out certain individuals, although I'm sure that they'll do that. But their ultimate game is to subjugate and overpower and take advantage of every human being on this planet. So if you think that you're immune from the possible danger of all this, you better think again. Anyway, getting back on a positive track, let's hope that the coming year is going to be different and that good will prevail, at least more so than it has been. And in order for that to happen, everybody's got to get off their duff and make it happen. You know, that's the bottom line. Just remember, the evil in this world persists because of their dedication to their task. These people are at this 24 hours a day, every year of every since God knows when. And in order to combat this, you have to apply yourself with the same diligence. You can't get all fired up just temporarily and then go back and watch your football game. It's not going to happen if you do that. It has to be a constant vigilance. And that, my friends, is the real cost of liberty. Remember that.
Yes. And I agree with you. Jim, I want to thank you for this past year of devotion and dedication to this show without fail on a weekly basis. If I could compensate you for just on the value of your scientific knowledge and your intuition and your consciousness, your awareness, and your heart, the willingness to touch people's hearts and show them the truth, to teach them the truth about things that you know and you are qualified to speak about, you would be a billionaire if I could come to you.
Well, it's a beautiful thought, Don. I really appreciate it. But your friendship is payment enough. And let's hope that we can continue this weekly get-together for many, many years to come.
Okay. Well, I want to wish you a very happy new year, as well as your family and our extended friends. Be sure to wish them all a happy new year on my behalf. General Jeremiah and the United Galactic Federation extend their warm greetings and wishes to you to have a happy new year. And they appreciate your work very much. You know that, but that message was given to me this evening to make sure I told you. So there you have it.
Well, my thanks to you and to them. And let's work very hard to make the coming year a much better year.
Okay. Well, I can't say I'll see you next year, but I will see you next week on Evident Footprints. So you enjoy the holiday and be safe. Keep up the fantastic work you're doing. Your day will come very soon, my friend. And until next week, I'll say goodnight.
Thank you, Don. Good night to you, too.
Okay. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's special guest, our resident science advisor, Mr. Jim Murray. Want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world for broadcasting the show. Please, again, remember Yulia Tymoshenko and her battle with corrupt political forces in the Ukraine, who are trying to discredit her for the great work that she did for her people while she was prime minister of the Ukraine. She's in a heated battle. Just pray for her safekeeping. Over at BBS Radio, I want to thank Doug Newsom on the sound tonight. Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me next Monday when my special guest will be Dr. A. Truat. In the meantime, Happy New Year, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.